get my shoes and out the door. 5, I'm alive. 6, 7, 8, feeling great. Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Noah. I'm excited to make you aware of an ebook that we just put together, and it's ready for you to download for free. It's called Getting to Goddess, Getting Your Hormones Right, and it can be downloaded at www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com/hormones/. In this ebook, you will discover 1. What's in your personal environment that's playing havoc with your hormones? 2. Improving your sleep by hacking your hormones. 3. Teaching you 5 easy solutions to better hormone balance. 4. Share the top 10 supplements and food for hormone health. And 5. Discuss the big 3. Estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Hormones and the balancing of hormones are top of mind these days, and this ebook will help you gain control of your health and wellness. This ebook is free and can be downloaded at this link, www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com/hormones/. Enjoy the upcoming podcast. Hello, BYWG tribe. This is Dr. Noah. We wanted to make you aware of our carefully selected book, product, and supplement of the month for July 2019. Yes, the summer is here. Keep in mind, all the links, discount codes, and special offers for the product, book, and supplement will be listed in the show notes in iTunes, posted on social media, in our weekly newsletter, and on our website at www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com at the Listen Now tab. Let's start with free bacon for life. And this offer is only good until July 7th. We've been huge fans of ButcherBox for years. In fact, you can listen to me interview the CEO, Mike Salguro, in the podcast archives. Personally, I look forward to my box of grass-fed meats every month. I get the beef, pork, and chicken combo box and regularly take advantage of their specials, like the one being offered now. Until July 7th, as I mentioned, ButcherBox has created a special offer for all our listeners who are new ButcherBox customers. Free bacon for life. The link to take advantage of this awesome offer is below. If you missed this and you're listening to this later, don't worry, we still have another offer. From July 8th to the end of the month, using this code www.butcherbox.com/beyondyourwildestgenes/ for new customers, you are eligible for free shipping, free bacon, and $20 off your first box. We collectively love grass-fed beef, organic chicken, wild-caught fish, and heritage pork, especially in the form of bacon. Our July supplement of the month is BYWG's Turmeric Boost. Turmeric has been in the news for its surprising effectiveness to manage inflammatory issues and arthritic pain. However, not all turmeric supplementation is the same. Turmeric Boost contains BCM95, which is a patented form of whole turmeric that helps to address the absorption issues by providing a trademarked formula with 700 to 900% better absorption in human clinical trials. In addition, it doesn't require black pepper to be absorbed, which can be a sensitivity for many people. We also added MCT oil to BYWG's Nutrition's Turmeric Boost, which is a fat that encourages even better absorption. Once again, and as always, no fillers, no wheat, no gluten, no dairy, just value, quality, and effectiveness. For the entire month of July, if you use this code, and it's case-sensitive, capital J-U-L-Y, capital T-U-R-M-E-R-I-C, you will receive 10% off this incredible anti-inflammatory aid. You can pick it up at our office or at our website, of course, and delivered anywhere in the United States at www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com. Lastly, but not least, our book of the month is Girl, Stop Apologizing, A Shame-Free Approach for Embracing and Achieving Your Goals by Rachel Hollis. The link to purchase this book is below as well. Be awesome and never unawesome, and enjoy the upcoming podcast. Hello and welcome back to Beyond Your Wildest Genes podcast. We had the distinct pleasure many times to get a sneak peek or an early look at a new book just about to hit the market, and we often get to interview the author for our podcast. Well, this is the case for Beating Endo. What makes this a little bit different is the book has two authors. So you'll be able to listen to part one, which I've already done,
with Dr. Orbuck. It'll be released sometime in July. And in the next Monday, we'll do part two with our guest today. And our guest today is Dr. Amy Stein, author of Beating Endo, How to Reclaim Your Life from Endometriosis. So, Dr. Stein, how are you today, and good evening.
I'm great. Thanks for having me on your show.
My pleasure. Let me do your bio, and then we're going to get right into it. Dr. Amy Stein, DPT, is the co-author of Beating Endo, How to Reclaim Your Life from Endometriosis. I believe the book was released yesterday. Am I correct about that?
Yes, yesterday.
All right.
Big day.
author of the award-winning book, Heal Pelvic Pain, and creator of the video Healing Pelvic and Abdominal Pain. Dr. Stein is the owner and founder of Beyond Basics Physical Therapy Midtown and Beyond Basics PT Downtown New York City. Dr. Stein is one of the founders of the Alliance for Pelvic Pain, a patient-oriented educational retreat. Dr. Stein served as the president of the International Pelvic Pain Society in 2017 and has been on the board and advisor since 2008. Dr. Stein is co-editor of Healing and Urology and an author in many medical textbooks, including Pelvic Pain Management, Female Sex Pain Disorders, Evaluation Management, Management of Sexual Dysfunction in Men and Women, and the Overactive Pelvic Floor. Whew. Dr. Stein lectures internationally, features in the Endo What documentary, and has been featured by Dr. Oz, ABC's 2020, Elle, Prevention, Parents, Women's Magazines, and the New York Daily News, and the New York Post. So, Dr. Amy.
Yes.
How do you get designated, and how do you become a pelvic pain specialist?
It's mostly a postgraduate training.
Okay.
So I got my doctorate in physical therapy, and most schools may have an elective of women's health. I think some have an elective of pelvic health, but not all. I didn't have any of the above, and I just ended up taking classes postgraduate while seeing patients. So that's how you become specialized, and you really become specialized when you work a lot with the patient population and you work with them to try to figure out like what's going on with their symptoms. And we actually see men, women, and children. So with regard to pelvic health, we see quite a bit of overlap in some of the pelvic floor signs and symptoms. I can give a couple examples if you want.
Sure, absolutely.
Sure. So the pelvic floor muscles, just so everyone is familiar, they are at the bottom of the core or the trunk, and they connect from your pubic bone in the front to the tailbone in the back, and they help with stability and mobility of the core. They help with continence, so the muscles actually surround the urethra, bladder, anorectal opening, as well as the genital region. So they help support those organs in that area. And as I mentioned before, continence as well as sexual health. So if there's dysfunction in these muscles, then it can cause bladder, bowel, sexual dysfunction, or any type of abdominal pelvic pain. And so when I said that we see an overlap, because men have pelvic floors, women have pelvic floors, children have pelvic floors. So sometimes we see, it's not that uncommon that we see, like in a child, we may see constipation and then pain in the area. And then in a female male, we may see similar symptoms because everyone has a pelvic floor. So that's the short version of pelvic floor anatomy and physiology right there.
This is a side topic, but I'm a long-term practicing yogi, and just about so much of yoga has to do with opening up the pelvis, like so much
right.
of it. And I guess that's what you work in your practice every day, I would assume.
Yes. So I've learned, as I was saying before, to really become an expert and a specialist in my experience, you have to really see a lot of the patients and really try to understand what's going on with them. Cause there's so not, you're right. Yoga is a lot about opening the pelvic floor. It's also about doing Kegels, which interestingly in our practice, most of the patients have the overactive or the hypertonic pelvic floor. So Kegels actually can make those symptoms worse in men and women. A lot of people are familiar with Kegels for incontinence, which that it can be extremely helpful for, also in sexual health. But in our practice, we see more of the overactive, so the pain syndrome. So we really want to relax and lengthen the muscles versus shorten and tighten the muscles.
Right. Now, getting back to your new book, how can you explain the relationship between pelvic floor muscle dysfunction and endometriosis?
That's a great question. So endometriosis happens, the cells of the uterine lining form outside of the uterus. Mm-hmm. And the pelvic floor is right there. And again, I mentioned before how the pelvic floor helps with bladder bowel sexual health, as well as can cause abdominal pelvic pain or contribute to. So there's a close connection with the muscles to the surrounding organs. There's a close connection with the nerves. So if there's a lot of irritation in the area, it can irritate the nerves and the muscles. And then if a patient is experiencing any like pulling from the actual cells, if they create like almost like an implant, that endometrial implant, that also can pull mechanically on the muscles and tissues around it. So there's a variety of ways that the pelvic floor can be affected by endometriosis. The positive is that we, as pelvic floor PTs, we know how to fix that part of someone that has endometriosis. A lot of times you obviously have to address the actual disease, but sometimes we've gotten patients to the point where their symptoms through diet, exercise, physical therapy, medical management, and mindfulness meditation. We find that the combination actually yesterday, the Bojana Novakovic, who did one of the forewords to our book, she did some great we did some great interviews with her on her road to recovery and how she really said that you really have to abide by the guidelines in the book, because she tried to do like some of it. She tried to do like her own exercise, her own diet, but in the end she realized that it had to be the whole picture, the entire program for her in order for her to heal herself.
Yeah, I love the fact that you're incorporating physical medicine into this whole picture. I'm a chiropractor in my day-to-day regular quote-unquote job when I'm not doing podcasts and promoting a supplement business and things like that. And, you know, I see people get better from all sorts of things when you just put your hands on them and get their body moving in the right way.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So in terms of pelvic pain, I mean, how do you determine how much pelvic pain could be considered potentially normal, and when does it become a problem or something that really needs to be addressed?
Well, I think that any pelvic pain, you don't want to get bad to the point that you can't function anymore.
Right.
I would say if it is something that just comes and goes, then that's okay. But if it's around even for more than a week, more than 2 weeks, I would definitely address it. And that's the challenge sometimes with pelvic pain, because it can encompass so many different organ systems. A patient with, say, bladder pain, they may end up in a urologist. A patient with bowel pain or bowel dysfunction, they may end up in a gastroenterologist or colorectal doctor. So that's where it becomes confusing. And someone with endometriosis, they may have one of the above, or they may have all the above.
Right.
And they get really confused of – the patients get really confused of where to go and who to see and which direction to go in. So it's definitely a confusing – it can be very confusing for the practitioner as well as the patient. But the, again, positive, I always look at the positive, is that we're really learning a lot more about pelvic health and pelvic pain, and we're definitely able to differentially diagnose better now than I started practicing 20 years ago. And I right away got into the area of pelvic health, and it has changed so much for the better. We still have a long way to go, and Boyana was a perfect example that she went 20 years with this pain or various pains on and off, and she went to so many different doctors, and it was a medical maze and a diagnosis roulette, I think that's what we call it, where you're just – diagnosis after diagnosis, and it's just telling her it's in her head, telling her painful periods that she has to deal with it. She's a female. So all these things are unfortunately still happening, but it is getting better. So there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
I believe you. Now, we have a physical therapist in our facility, and I was talking to him on Monday about our upcoming interview. So I'm curious, you know, what types, and I know every person's going to be different, but in general, what types of exercises are we looking at for someone who has these types of issues?
That's a great question, and actually kind of complicated. But the first thing, because there's so many things that you can teach the patients, and everyone's so different, so someone, you know, may have a lot of hip rotation and may not even feel a certain stretch, but whereas someone else may really need to do some hip rotation, hip opening exercises. But the first exercise that I teach patients is actually diaphragmatic breathing. Just learning how to breathe again, learning how to breathe into the abdomen, into the pelvic floor, into those side ribs and back of the ribs. You know this as a yogi.
Yes, of course.
And for the pain patients specifically, really learning how to open the pelvic floor and trying to relax the pelvic floor. And it's not just something that you do that you can do once or twice a day. It is something that you have to learn how to do on a daily or like a couple times an hour, because some patients get in the habit of gripping and tightening those muscles, or they've had or they have painful periods, or they have urinary frequency. Our Wall Street male population, some for whatever reason, I see a lot of, maybe because they're sitting a lot and it's a high stress environment, where we've seen a lot of patients young too, where they just have urinary frequency and urgency, and then they get into this habit of tensing the muscles and not wanting to go to the bathroom, or afraid that they're going to, you know, have an accident, even though typically with the overactive pelvic floor, you don't. And they get into this vicious cycle of tightening that area, kind of like if you have neck or back pain that you guard and you grip. It's similar. Those muscles are similar, and you can learn how to release and relax them. A lot of it is the physical therapy of the manual portion of physical therapy, where you actually have to lengthen the muscles. But then things that we have the patients do at home is deep breathing exercises with trying to relax the pelvic floor. We give them a lot of stretches, hip opening stretches, maybe some abdominal stretch like the cobra if they can tolerate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then cardiovascular exercise is extremely important. We find a lot of the really chronic patients, pain patients, they're afraid to move. I'm sure you see this in your practice.
Yep.
that they have what's called kinesiophobia, and they're afraid to actually move. So even just having a patient, teaching a patient that it's okay, you can find, whether it's yoga or tai chi or just walking outside or swimming, whatever works for you, you need to get up and move. You need to get blood flow. But find that balance, because you don't want to be in a lot of pain afterwards. But you, even if you just do, start with 10 minutes a day of walking, 10 minutes a day of yoga in the morning and yoga in the afternoon, whatever it is to get the body moving is really important. And then really working with your physical therapist too, or chiropractor, to see what other strengthening exercises you may need, or any other exercises for your specific condition.
Right. So it is a combination of stretching, manual, different types of manual therapy, cardio. It's even beyond what Dr. Orbach talked about. It's a very comprehensive program within what you do as well, obviously.
Yes, and for endometriosis specifically, it's definitely we see a lot of very chronic pain patients because they've had this for 20 years. The average diagnosis for endometriosis is between 10 and 12 years. So you could just imagine that if they've had this pain for that long, that they're compensating in different ways, and they're also afraid to move. So really working with the patient, making them not afraid of moving and exercising again is important. And then also figuring out what they like to do too, because right. You could tell someone to do yoga, but they don't really want to do yoga. They'd rather go swimming, or they'd rather walk outside or take a hike in nature. So really working with the patient and hearing what they like to do is also important in the whole rehab process.
I have a few thoughts and questions for you. One, just getting back into that, you know, when if you practice yoga for any length of time, the teacher will often say, you know, we have to open your hips. People carry a lot of emotions in their hips. So my question to you, since you're working with the pelvic floor muscles all the time, and do you ever see emotional type releases with patients when you're working in that area and they're opening it up and they're getting more motion and they're feeling better? Do you see emotional type releases ever? Just out of sheer curiosity.
I do. I would say it's not that often, but I definitely do see that. I think because in my experience, it's more of a gradual process. So I feel like it doesn't happen that often. I get patients coming all the time initially crying. Actually, the patient that I mentioned, she's an actor, and it's in our book. So you could read it in the foreword, but she came to me, you know, I didn't even know her, and she came to me just in tears, just thinking that like she's never going to get better and that type of thing. And now she is doing yoga and she's super active again. And actually, I'm not exactly sure the percentage, but if I would say she's about 90-95%, and she had surgery in December, late December. And she only did like 10 sessions of PT, maybe 12, and then had to go off and do a shoot in Serbia. So I do see that quite often. And I've heard I have a fairly big practice with other physical therapists, and I've heard it from other physical therapists that they've experienced that with patients. Another thing to watch out for as a healthcare provider is some patients have had some type of trauma, not all, because that's also another myth, like, oh, this patient must have had sexual trauma and that's why they're having pelvic pain. Not all patients have had trauma, but the ones that have, you do have to be aware of. And, you know, if they disassociate during the session, then you want to really work with them. They may have or need a mental health therapist. So
excellent point. Excellent point. Maybe that's really a fantastic point. That is definitely something you have to be very cognizant about for sure. Do you have a recommendation on the amount of steps that you would like to see your patients and clients have each day?
Steps, like physical steps?
Yes, yeah, like, you know, like track, like if they track it with like a Fitbit or an Oura Ring or something like that.
I don't actually use a Fitbit, I don't because I was treating a patient with endometriosis a couple of years ago, and she couldn't even, she was thin, and but she couldn't even walk across the room. So for me, just having her walk 3 times across the room was a positive. And then someone like Boyana came in already exercising and already doing yoga and already doing all these things. So it's really, I base it on where, more of where they're starting from when they come to me. You know, I'll have a patient doing 100 sit-ups, and actually that's making their abdominal area tighter. I mean, I know they want to get it tighter, but more in a non-productive way, and they're getting like trigger points and pain, and that's pulling on the pelvic floor. So for that patient, I actually may say, I'd rather have you walk or even run more than do 100 sit-ups a day. So
right.
Well, it is, to answer your question, I think it's just really dependent on the patient.
Yeah,
but I'm super supportive of any type of exercise.
Right. Well, now, here's why I ask, because well, first you mentioned that you do work with cardiovascular health with these with your clients, and then you mentioned about, you know, you take care of males, a lot of males that are, and women for that matter, that are sitting at a desk for an absurd amount of hours a day. So I'm a fan of about 10,000 steps a day, but then there was an article that came out, and someone I really respect reposted it, saying that the 10,000 steps a day is a myth, and it's somewhere between 4,000 and 1,000 steps. And then I read an article about evolutionary health, and they say our bodies are designed for about 19 kilometers a day of walking. So I'm sticking with the 10,000 steps a day.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get your opinion. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, it also, you know, our aging population, maybe not having to do as many steps, but 100% getting out there still and exercising. But that's another thing. Or pregnant population. I mean, you have the heavy weightlifters, pregnant women doing heavy weightlifting and doing marathons. Not as used to exercising, and may have to even do a little bit less. Right. So,
right now, how does, if somebody's listening to this podcast and they have endometriosis, or they pick up your book, or they know somebody and they want to find a physical therapist that's, you know, more familiar with what we're discussing today, how do they go about doing that?
There are a couple websites. I'm actually, you mentioned in my bio, I was the president of the International Pelvic Pain Society. Mm-hmm. They have a find a provider, actually physicians as well as, I think, some chiropractors, acupuncturists, physical therapists, pelvic health physical therapists. Then there's the American Physical Therapy Academy of Pelvic Health. They have a find a provider, and a company that I took some classes with, Herman and Wallace, they also have a find a pelvic health provider. So there's a couple, and then there's some that are more specific, the Interstitial Cystitis Association, that's specific to bladder issues. I believe they have a find a provider. So they're out there. There's the field of pelvic health physical therapy is growing quite a bit, but there's still, I get calls all the time. I had a patient that had moved to Connecticut not that recently, and I must have given her a handful of physical therapists. They said they were pelvic physical therapists, but they weren't doing all the work that we do in our office. So she felt like she wasn't getting very far. So that's also something to keep in mind when you are looking for someone, that there's a variety of levels of training for pelvic health. So it's a challenge sometimes to find a pelvic health physical therapist to begin with. But if you do feel like you've plateaued and you've talked to your physical therapist about it, always look for a second opinion and try to find another pelvic physical therapist, because the training, it can be quite different. I think we're working on getting it more structured and more protocols, but it's a work in progress. It's a work in progress.
That's a great answer. So kind of winding this interview down, from your perspective, is there anything else we need to touch upon regarding the book?
Well, it's great. I would say that, interestingly, I'm telling people that they should buy it even if they don't have endometriosis, because the nutrition chapter, the PT chapter, the medical management, obviously, as well, but it is more specific to endometriosis. The environmental chapter, and mindfulness chapter, they all address really just chronic conditions in general. Yes, there are parts of the book that those specific chapters that definitely gear more towards endometriosis. But for instance, the nutrition chapter is anti-inflammatory diet. You may need to go gluten-free and dairy-free and low sugar, no sugar. So it's definitely can apply to more than just endometriosis, but the book really also is one of a kind in that it addresses all of these areas. There's not another book on endometriosis about this comprehensive, from the medical management, the surgical options. There's really only one, as Iris probably, our Dr. Orbach already mentioned, excision surgery, to the physical therapy, the nutrition, the mindfulness, the how your central nervous system also gets upregulated from having this pain for so long, or just from having, if it starts out pretty sharp and severe, that can upregulate your system. So that's a really important point to add with endometriosis, as well as any chronic pain condition, is that you really need to work with your practitioners to dial down that pain scale, to lower the flames and to downregulate the system. And it may take various steps to get there, but really looking at the body as a whole, and if exercise and yoga and PT isn't enough, then it could be that you need a nutritionist to do more mindfulness. There's definitely a variety. There's a lot out there, more than there used to be, and they're realizing that with these types of conditions, you really need to address the body as a whole, from head to toe.
Great point. And I agree with you with the book. I mean, I've interviewed so many people, and when it comes down to it, you know, so much of almost any disease or condition you could think of deals with great eating, great sleep, proper exercise, meditation. It's like the same. It's really the same thing over and over again. And then there's the fine tuning, the last 20 or 30% that is specific to that condition. So,
right.
I agree.
Yep. And the sleep, that is very important. Sleep.
That's true.
Yeah, you are always going to have stress in your life. So it's learning to manage that stress as well.
I agree. Now, one One question I ask everybody at the end of the podcast, Dr. Stein, what is your routine from waking to sleeping?
Oh boy, that's a whole other podcast.
In general,
I do like to keep busy. So, let's see. I wake up. I need my coffee.
Me too.
And I have two kids, so getting them out to school, and I really love what I do as well. So, getting to work. Working with my colleagues. I like also I love the PT part. I love healing people and helping people. I also like the business end too, which is why I pursued opening up my own business. And so that's, to me, that balance is nice and it keeps the day going. And then, I forgot a big part. I usually exercise in the morning. Forgot that one. That's really important. I try to do like an hour, five, 6 days a week. And then in the evening, just with the kids, and I do, you know, I am a workaholic too. So I end up while they're reading, I do some work and then to bed and then do a little more work and then to bed. I do have to get out of the habit of doing work after they go to sleep, because I know it's not so good for your system. You need to, I need to practice what I preach about the down regulation that after they go to sleep, I should be reading a book. But when you write a book, it does take a lot of time. So I've looked forward. We finished the book about 2 months ago, and I felt a big sense of relief, but I'm so happy that we did it.
I'm sure. And it's a great book. And, you know, audience, the link to the book will be in the show notes and our emails and the website. It'll probably be the book of the month for August. So the links to purchase the book will be, you'll be able to find that for sure. Any last words, Dr. Stein?
I would just say that if you have endometriosis or any chronic pain condition, that really finding your team, finding people that you work well with that really understand what's going on, keeping hope too, and also finding your path, because your path may be really different than your neighbor's path or another patient that's in the waiting room. So really finding that team and finding your path and what works well for you is key. And that does take time for some people, for most people. But stick to it and just keep going.
Great. Great, great advice. Thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on your show.
My pleasure. My name is Dr. Noah DeCoyer, your co-host, and you're listening to the Beyond Your Wildest Genes podcast. If you like what you heard today, please share this with your friends and family. Encourage them to subscribe on iTunes. If you happen to skip part one of this interview with Dr. Orbach, please go back and listen to it in the BYWG podcast archives on our website at www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com. And as my oldest son Hayden says, be awesome and never unawesome.
That's great. Love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's a handful these days. All right. Thank you very much. I'll shoot your publicist an email and the links when these are all released for sure.
Great. Yeah. And if you want to, I don't know if you have like our information or website to tag us or whatever.
Yeah. We'll do it. Yeah. That'll all be in the show notes. Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Okay. Great.
Thank you. Good night.
All right. Have a good night. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.